Hello, it's Chris.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Chris vs. the People. I am freshly off of a flight. Like, I literally got home maybe 35 minutes ago. I was in LA all week shooting something that is, like, actually incomprehensible. Maybe I'll get into it a little on the after show. But this is the last chance I had to record, so we didn't miss a week. So everybody say thank you to Justin, our editor, for being a trooper. All that being said, because we are going to have a little bit of a shorter episode this week, but I made sure that this episode is still juicy, honey, okay? Like, apple right off the tree, peak season, you know? I don't know when peak season for an apple is. Maybe October? It doesn't matter. We're getting off track. But for today, we're going to hear about an after dark story that involves the ocean and alcohol. And then we're going to hear a wild Christmas Day tale in a Waffle House that takes a turn. And then we're going to finish it off with someone who was involved with Ted Bundy. Yes, that Ted Bundy. So I told you I'm going to try and make this episode juicy. That apple. Mid-October, you know? Mm-hmm, exactly. Now, if this is your first time tuning into Chris vs. the People, welcome. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like video episodes, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We just hit 23,000 subscribers. Ah! Oh my God. I want to hit 100 so I can get a plaque for this fucking show. Do you know how gaggy that would be? So send this episode to 5 of your closest friends and then comment squiggly so you're entered to win. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm literally so tired. It's actually insane. Now, as always, after every episode, we will be doing the Chris vs. the People after show over on my Patreon, patreon.com/ChrisClemens. All of the links are in the description for anything you might want or need. And that being said, let's get the hell into it. What's up, Isla? Welcome to Chris vs. the People. You are going to be telling us about a stupid thing that you've done that involves the nighttime and the ocean and alcohol.
Yes, it was not my finest moment, for sure.
And you know what? At least you're able to look back and call into a podcast and reminisce about it, you know?
Exactly. Entertainment for all.
Exactly. When was this?
So this is actually just in September.
Got it. So this is like current history. This is still unfolding, this story.
Yes, it is. Unfortunate.
Okay. And what happened?
So I was on my first ever trip with my boyfriend, like my first ever big trip.
Okay.
With him. And so we went to Portugal.
Wait, how old were y'all?
We're 23.
And you just went to Portugal? Is this what straight people do? Are you straight?
Yeah.
Oh my God, is this what straight people do? Like at 23, they just go on vacation with their significant other to Portugal? That's fucking hot as hell. Good for you, girl. 23, I could barely buy groceries.
We're both nurses, so it's like really easy to take time off just because with shift work and stuff.
Okay, well, you don't have to brag.
And we were like, fuck it, let's just go to Portugal.
Love that.
So we went to Portugal and we booked this like kayaking excursion because we were on the coast of Portugal and there's these like cool caves and stuff that you can kayak into. So we were like, oh my God, so fun.
Narrator, until it wasn't.
Yeah. So it was a double-seater kayak. So already my family was like, oh, what a fun test of your relationship because we're going to have to paddle together.
Did your family fuck with him?
Oh yeah, they love him.
Oh, okay. Are you still with said boyfriend?
Yes.
Oh my God, wait. How many years into your relationship was this Portugal trip?
So this Portugal trip, we've been together for about 4 years, but we haven't gone on any big, big trips because we just graduated university like a year ago and stuff.
Okay, period. So this happened.
Yeah.
I'm using the mental math that it happened in September. Okay.
Yes.
So you book this kayaking trip with the caves and your family thinks that this is clearly top shelf comedy. And
yes, absolutely.
I'm assuming this did test your relationship.
Yes.
Not the All right. So what happens after you book this?
Okay. So the night before our kayaking excursion, it's booked for 1 p.m. So we're like, oh, we can go out and we'll be fine by then. So we go out the night before, we go bar hopping, and we were at this bar that was serving like 1 euro shots. And we were like, okay, no, absolutely.
My face during that was like, okay, absolutely. Yeah. And when you're 23, that is the dream.
Yeah, so can't say no to that.
How many shots did you guys end up having?
Oh, God, I don't even know. Thank God the bar was only about 5 minutes away from our hotel, because I don't even know how we made it back, to be honest.
Oh, my God. Isn't that scary? Like, you could have easily been, like, Gone Girl 4.
Yeah, in a foreign country. Just
when I think about the time that I studied abroad in Europe, I should think about that a lot more, because I should feel very grateful to be sitting at this table in my basement recording Chris vs. the People, let me tell you.
Yeah, definitely not our finest moment.
So I'm going to just jump to conclusions that you guys blacked out.
We wake up the next morning. We're super hungover, obviously. But I'm not like puking or anything at this point. We'll get there. But I'm like, okay, I just have a headache. He's like relatively okay. He's like, I'm a little nauseous. I have a headache. Whatever. So we go get lunch. We're like, maybe we'll feel better with some food in our stomachs. And then we make our way down to like the beach to go on this kayaking excursion. And it's like a group activity.
Like a group as in like you and strangers, or like an organized group of you and friends?
No, us and a bunch of strangers.
Oh my God. Okay. Waking up nauseous was the sign to not do this.
I know. Looking back.
Like, I can barely, like, get to my first floor and order a coffee when I'm hungover. I cannot believe that you guys were like, yeah, you know what? Let's keep the kayaking on the cal.
So we're getting, like, set up and everything. There's about, like, I think 8 groups of 2. So there's about 16 of us. And, like, all ages. There was, like, these, like, older couple. They were, like, insane too. They were doing better than us. It was kind of embarrassing.
Well, I don't think that they were like pounding 1 euro shots the night before. I mean, granted, I don't know them, but like, listen, I don't think these elderlies are tossing them back.
I don't think so. But we're standing there and the instructor is like, okay, the ocean's like really rocky today, so it might be a little bit scary. So it's like really important that we stay as a group and like all the stuff.
Okay, and that is sign number 2 that you should not be doing this activity today.
Oh, God. And it's like, I don't know what this is in Fahrenheit because I'm Canadian, but it was like 35 degrees Celsius. The sun is just like beating down on us. Like, it was so bad. So we make our way out. Everything's fine. We get out to like the middle of the ocean. We're paddling along. My boyfriend is sitting behind me in the kayak because whoever's like taller and bigger has to sit in the back for like weight reasons or whatever. I don't know.
Oh my God. I fear of what is coming next.
Yeah. So he's sitting behind me. I can't see him. We're paddling. I'm fine. I'm a little nauseous, but like, I'm having fun. It's really wavy. It's a little freaky, but I'm like, oh, when am I ever going to be in the ocean in Portugal again? So, you know, we're paddling along, whatever. And we're, like, out in the ocean at this point. Like, we're not close to the shore or anything. Like, there's no turning.
Are you still close to, like, your group?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So the group is all together.
Okay, work.
Relatively. And then I hear my boyfriend behind me go, oh, no. And then I just hear, like, liquid, like, hitting the kayak, like, and just, like, the sound of just, you know.
Uh-huh. The sound. That's, yep, the sound.
And oh my God, I was like, there's no way that this is happening right now in the middle of the ocean. I turn around. He's leaning over the side. Thank God. Like, he got a little bit on the kayak, but he managed to, like, lean over the side, and he's, like, projectile vomiting into the ocean.
Oh my God, I thought he was going to be throwing up on you.
No, thank God. I probably would have, I don't even know what I would have done. That would have been bad.
No, you would have gone back to your family and said, okay, you were right. The 2-person kayak tested our relationship.
Yeah. It got like on the kayak a little bit.
That's okay. You can hose it off.
I don't think any got on me. I don't know. I was like, it was wavy. There was water everywhere. Could have. Who knows? But by the time I turned around, he was leaning over the side. Yeah. So he pukes for like it was bad. And then he's like, okay, I think I'm fine. Other people around us like don't really notice because everyone's trying to just like
also throw up.
So he's like, oh, I'm fine. He was not fine.
They never are. Men are always like, I'm fine. And then it's like, says the most unfine person.
Yeah. So it was like a 2-hour long excursion and he must have puked like 5 times. And it kind of set off like a little bit of a chain reaction. And then other people in our group were fucking puking everywhere. And the instructors were so unfazed. They were like, oh, free fish food for these little fish. Like, they weren't even concerned.
So your boyfriend started a local trend of just vomiting off the side of a kayak?
Yep.
How many people out of, like, the 16 were throwing up?
I would say, like, at least 5 or 6 people.
Holy shit, that is, like... Like, I've never heard of anything like that in my life before. Oh, my God. That feels like an Adam Sandler movie or something.
Oh, God. And meanwhile, I'm sitting in the front, basically doing all the work, paddling, trying to keep us with the group because my boyfriend is just unwell.
He's dead weight in the back of the kayak.
Yeah. But, I mean, what a girl boss moment, you know?
No, such a girl boss moment. But, like, if the instructors want to talk nice little fish food for the fishies, let's throw him overboard and... make our load lighter.
They thought it was funny, to be honest. I think
if I were an instructor, well, I mean, I would also probably be one of the people chain reacting throwing up. But I too would find that funny if I wasn't throwing up. Wow. And then how was afterwards? Did you make lifelong friends?
Oh yeah, we met these like there was these 2 girls from like, where was it, somewhere in like Norway or something, and the one girl got like violently ill, and she looked like green, like it was really bad, so I felt really bad for her. And like, I don't know, I'm a nurse, so it's just like natural instinct to like chat with these people, make sure they're okay. But yeah, they were fun, they were great. She was chill after, she was fine. But
you're like, we went out and did some shots after kayaking.
Yeah, no, we did not drink after that for like another 2 days. Because we were a little traumatized.
That is a lesson well learned.
We found something, though, instead of drinking. So, apparently, weed is, like, illegal there.
Yeah.
Well, it's, like, decriminalized, but it's, like, not legal for, like, recreational use. Oh. But that night, we were walking on the beach, and this random man was like, do you guys smoke weed? And we were like, yeah. And he had, like, pre-rolled joints. So then we just did that night instead of drinking. And it was much better.
Girl!
I know, probably not a smart idea, but we were fine.
The night before, you black out to the point where your boyfriend is still bubbling over the next day. And that night, you guys find a man on the beach and take his weed and smoke it?
Yeah.
Oh, honey, you smoked oregano. Like, you did not smoke marijuana.
It wasn't the best.
No, I'm sure it wasn't. It was like Italian seasoning, I'm sure.
Probably.
Like a guy in Washington Square Park in New York. It's like, hey, I got drugs. And then you get it and it's basil.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
It smelled like a little bit like weed.
Oh.
It's probably like a mixture. I don't know.
Weed should literally only smell like weed. It should smell a little bit like it.
God, I know.
Wow. Isla, you... are just a funny little one. And it doesn't end here, though, because we're actually going to be talking to you on the after show. Now, you mentioned you're a nurse, and we are talking about the wildest thing you have seen in your career. And
yes.
I know what the wildest thing is, and no one is ready for this jelly. Let me fucking tell you. So I will call you a little bit later for the after show. And yeah, I'll talk to you later.
Sounds good. I'm so excited.
Alrighty, bye. I'm nervous. Alrighty, I'll talk to you later.
Alright, bye. Thanks, Chris.
Bye. Okay, guys, that one is on me. I think if you're watching the episode, you can see it in my face the moment I realize that that story had nothing to do with at night. It was they were drinking the night before. Yeah, literacy is one powerful tool, guys. And it's a tool that is missing from my little Bob the Builder carpenter belt. Okay! Now, before we carry on with the rest of today's episode, I'd like to thank Uncommon Goods for sponsoring. Y'all, the countdown is officially on. Holiday shopping season is officially here. Now, Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds that you won't find anywhere else. One of the biggest, if not the biggest, reason I love Uncommon Goods is for home decor / gifting home decor. I have found so many one-of-a-kind, and in some cases customizable, which makes any gift that much better. But you can find such unique things for people's spaces that really feel like it was made for their space. For example, last Christmas, I got my brother this amazing set of coasters that I've never seen anywhere else. It was so genius. They were these circular marble coasters that look like baseballs, and the resting thing for them is a baseball glove, and you can customize the team logo. I mean, are you kidding me? I look like I actually know something about sports. And also, many of the things that I find on Uncommon Goods are crafted by independent artists and small businesses, which just really makes that gift feel even more special for the person receiving it. Uncommon Goods truly has something for everybody. No matter who you have on your list, from moms to dads to kids to teens to dogs to sports fans to movie buffs to history nerds, there truly is something for everyone on your list this holiday season at Uncommon Goods. And as if it couldn't get any better, with every purchase at Uncommon Goods, they give $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. And with this, they've donated more than $3.1 million to date. It just feels like, especially in this day and age of giant corporations and everything feeling so unoriginal, there are just a plethora of things at Uncommon Goods that you will find and people will absolutely adore. So with that being said, don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the mad rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Clemens. That's uncommongoods.com/Clemens for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, baby. We're all out of the ordinary. Once again, thank you for sponsoring, and let's get back to the episode. Anyways, we are moving on to our next caller.
Hello.
Hi, Dane. How's it going?
It's going.
Totally. I feel that one just in my soul. It is going, period. Now, I hear you have a wild story for us.
Oh, boy, do I have a good one for you. Trying to think of how I want to start this.
How long? How long ago was this?
So I was 18. I'm 22 now. So about 3-4 years ago.
Okay, thank you for doing the math. I was literally not able to do that one.
I'm shocked I was able to.
Okay, so you were 18 when this went down. What exactly went down?
So to kind of preface with this, when I was 18, I started taking pole dancing classes.
Period.
And fell in love with the art form. And while falling in love with the art form, I was like, I want to see where this really came from. So I started going to strip clubs. And where I grew up was right on the Maryland-West Virginia border.
Whoa. What are the strip clubs like on the Maryland-West Virginia border? Oh, my God. I mean, who needs AI? The pictures that my mind is making right now is wild. Now, I do have to ask, are you going to them as a, like, visitor or working?
So, I actually went as a visitor.
Okay. Or, like, what? Not visitor is not the right word. What is it? Like, a attendee?
Like a customer?
A customer. Yes, a customer. That is literally the simple word that my stupid fucking brain was trying to think of.
So, I was a customer, and as I kept going, because I was like the only gay there, I wanted to out-gay myself, and I would wear my stripper shoes to the club, and I got known as Heels at the bar.
Okay, iconic nickname, obsessed.
Yeah, so I started to become friends with all of the dancers, and fast forward to Christmas. Spend the day with my family, whatever, whatever. And I get this grand idea. I'm like, hey, the girls are working tonight. Why don't I go to the club? So
on Christmas Day, just to be clear.
Yes, Christmas Day.
That is beautiful, as Jesus would have wanted, probably.
Yeah. So I say to myself, let me go visit my girlfriends, see what's going on. Don't plan on staying long.
Any place that you're going to and you say, I don't think I'm going to stay long, be prepared to stay for the rest of your fucking life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is that what happened?
So that's exactly what happened. So I get to the club. It's about midnight, 11 o'clock, 11:30.
Okay, so Jesus's birthday is freshly over.
Basically, yeah.
Period.
And as you would suspect, nobody is there. It's just the dancers, the bartenders.
And heels.
and me, yeah. And maybe some like old seedy dude sitting in the corner trying to get his rocks off because dude probably don't have a family.
Oh my God, I hated that phrase, trying to get his rocks off. Oh my God. Is that a phrase?
I think so.
So that is just so violently visual. Anyways, okay, there's some seedy guys getting their rocks off. Rock on with your rock off.
So I come in, I'm friends with all the girls. We're spending the whole night together, having a good time. Because there's nobody in the club, I'm like sitting up there and I'm like, go up and do this trick. And then I would go, you're doing it wrong. Get down, do it again. And sure shit enough, these girls would do it and they hated me. They called me the Abby Lee Miller of pole dance.
This is fucking crazy. Like, first, your name is Heels because you're bringing in your shoes every day. And then now you're the Abby Lee Miller of the strip club.
Basically, yeah.
This is... Oh, God, I love the way you're telling the story. God, is it good. All right, so Abby, what happened next?
It only goes up from here, Chris. So we're all having a good time. It's about like 3 o'clock. That's when the club closes. And two of my good girlfriends, they come up to me. They're like, hey, we're all going to Waffle House. You're coming. It's not like, hey, do you want to come? It was a, no, you're coming with us.
Yeah, it was a period, not a question mark.
Exactly. So instead of being like, no, it's late, I'm going to go home. Oh, hell no. We're going to keep this party going. So I drive from the club. It's about 15 minutes to Waffle House.
Okay.
Now, mind you, both of the girls had designated drivers, and basically, I was one of the only sober people at this excursion.
Including the designated drivers?
Basically, yeah. We're the only sober people. And then we have the two lovelies girls whose names I will not mention, but I'll just say one is a Powerpuff Girl's name. The other one is a Spice Girl's name.
Okay, period. I love this little game of Clue.
Exactly. So we walk in, and instead of being greeted with, hey, welcome to Waffle House, it's a, y'all better fucking behave tonight, because I'm not dealing with this.
Do you have a history at Waffle House? Or that was just because a rowdy group of people's coming in at 3:30 in the morning?
So I am not the one who has a history. It's my two girlfriends who have a history at this Waffle House.
What the fuck did they do at a Waffle House? Something tells me they didn't pull a Lana Del Rey and throw an apron on.
No. Well, it's about a week before this happens. They went out after work, and I guess something happened. And they guess the two girls were mad at each other and somebody got their head slammed up against a hand dryer. But then they started making out with each other. That whole story is a blur. But those are the bits that I remember hearing.
Right.
So they're automatically like on high alert because here come these crazy people again. Whoop-de-doo. But this is also West Virginia. So what else can you expect?
Inbreeding?
Meth heads.
Yeah, that too. That's a good one. I'm trying to think of what else I think of. Oh, wait, we're not playing a game. Sorry, we're getting off track.
So we walk in, we get the warning And I'm like, oh, good God, here we go. This is not going to end well. So we start off, everybody's nice. We order our food. We're behaving. People start to get a little loud.
And these are all people in your group, correct? Is it an empty Waffle House?
We are the only people there besides the people working behind the counter.
Jesus God. Oh my God. What a setting you have set.
So we're up in there and we're sitting, having a good time, just chit-chatting, going over the night and how much money everybody made and who got dances and what drama happened behind the scenes, which I really don't think was much that night. And then somebody gets the grand idea, hey, I'm going to go over to the jukebox. Well, that person goes over. I don't remember exactly what the song was, but I feel like it was along the lines of Back That Ass Up or something wild.
Back That Ass Up at 4 a.m. at a Waffle House truly could send me into psychosis.
The day after Christmas, mind you.
Yeah, no, literally December 26th.
So we start getting loud again. We bring the strip club to the Waffle House.
Oh, my
One
God.
One person's on the table dancing. Another person tries to get up on top of the counter. And I shit you not, those people said, you need to sit your asses down. This is your last warning.
Suddenly, my mouth has a zipper and a lock. A zoop.
Yep. I was like, okay, I don't know these people. I am not a backcountry.
Not you throwing your friends under the bus.
I am just guilty by association here. I just want to eat my waffle and leave.
Don't we all? Don't we all just want to eat our waffle and leave?
Oh. So that basically, that's where that ends. We all sit down. We do our thing. We finish our check. They got a decent tip. We leave. You think the night ends there, but surprise, surprise, it does not.
Why?
I get invited back because the one girlfriend says, hey, we have a Christmas gift for you at our hotel, the Motel 6 that's right next door to the Waffle House in West Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah, I go over. Bitch fucking lies. She just goes, oh, I just wanted you to see the Christmas decorations that we made in our little motel.
Oh, that's so wholesome.
It was cute. It was very cute. And then we all smoked the bowl together. And then her boyfriend stole my bowl. And that's pretty much the end of the night.
Wow. So you guys didn't get kicked out of a Waffle House?
We were pretty close to it. We were pretty close to it.
No, you were pretty close. I'm proud of you guys. Wow. Have you been back to that Waffle House?
So, no, I have not been back to that Waffle House since that incident.
Mostly because you're probably on the no waffle list.
Yep. Yeah. I have now since moved from that area, and I have not been to that club probably in, it's been about 2-3 years.
Oh, my God. Heels needs to get back and strut your stuff.
I've always said that I want to get up on that stage and do my thing, but this is in West Virginia and I don't feel like getting lynched. So,
well, yes, that, wow, that, woof, that really, we're ending on a West Virginia note. Whew.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wild and wonderful, baby.
Wow. Thank you for sharing this fun little Christmas tale, a Christmas story.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Wow. You and your friends scare me. Not going to lie. You guys sound very, like, a lot of energy. You have a lot of energy.
Oh, yeah. We definitely are. And that's just the strippers. I'm also a drag performer. And those bitches, I feel like, can be a little bit more tame, surprisingly, than the strippers.
As if I didn't have any other reason to go to West Virginia, I certainly have less of a reason now.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm dead. Well, thank you so much for being a part of today's episode.
Absolutely.
I hope you have a good rest of your night, and I'm going to say a prayer for the Waffle House staff.
Oh, please do. They need it.
Oh, I will. Alrighty, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, if that were like 8 years ago for me, I would have also probably been on the counter dancing and twerking and like moving whatever white ass I have. There is something about hearing that story that this is how I know I'm 32, because I'm like, oh no, please don't make me be out till 4 a.m. Like, I don't even care if there's food involved. And that says a lot because I love a late night snack. Just the idea of being out till 3 or 4. I mean, being out till midnight feels a little outrageous. Jesus, God, I do feel and sound old. And with that, we are just going to keep it moving, okay? We are on our final call, and I think this is going to be the most exciting one of the episode.
Hello.
Hey, Hannah. I have been looking forward all episode to this phone call because you wrote in and said, Ted Bundy tried luring your grandma before it came out that he was a serial killer?
Yes.
And I'm going to just stop you right here, okay? I'm going to give you the opportunity to hang up if you are fucking lying.
Oh, yeah, no. This is 100% truth. My grandma's a lot of things, but she's not a liar.
So. Oh, and suddenly she has a real grandma's of Beverly Hills tagline. Oh my God, I'm obsessed. I'm a lot of things, but I'm not a liar. We got it. We got the shot. So I was going to say how long ago was this, but obviously during like the Ted Bundy of it all. Wait, actually, I guess actually.
Yes.
How long ago was this?
So this was 1970.
Oh my God, I wasn't even born yet because I'm so young.
Yeah, so she was about 12 years old.
Oh my God. Okay, wow. I just suddenly remembered we're talking about Ted Bundy. It like really just clicked. All right, so we've got your grandma who's 12.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that sounds weird, but yes, she was 12 at the time. So basically, you know, just to say this, she told me this story about a year ago, and I'm 27, so I'm like, hello, what took you so long? This is actually crazy.
No, literally, what?
Kind of weird for you to keep something like this from me, but okay.
I can, like, barely keep it a secret when I buy someone, like, a gift a month out from their birthday. You're telling me she sat on the fact that she was almost a Ted Bundy victim at age 12, and she sat on that for, like, 50 years?
Yeah, literally. I'm like, okay. But, yeah, so... yeah, I don't know. Ever since you started this podcast, I've just been wanting to tell the story, but...
Oh my God, well, we're here. So how did this... I guess my first question is, how did this come up? And, like, why did it come up at this specific time?
Right, so she was, like I said, 12 years old. She was walking on Daytona Beach Boardwalk at midnight, which, by the way, she had no business walking at this time at that age, but, you know... It was a different time. But so she was looking for a couple of guys that she had met earlier that day. And I think she mentioned that her parents had talked their parents had talked briefly. So it wasn't like that weird. I mean, it's still weird, but not as weird as I'm making it seem. But so she was walking to meet them, and there was a man that was sitting on a bench with a cast on his arm. And so she walked by him. He kept calling her over and she ignored it. But she just had this like bad feeling. She kept walking to find the guys that she was supposed to meet up with. And they never showed up. So she decided to walk back. And again, walking by the guy with the cast on his arm. And so he started to follow her. And then she just started running. And so... when she started running, he started to chase her. And so then I'm not sure what kind of boardwalk this was, but he ended up getting into a Volkswagen and he started chasing her by car. So she's booking, like, she's like obviously like a grown man, you know, so she's booking it. She ended up finding this like alleyway that was like not wide enough for a car to drive through. So she like eventually like he kind of just like gave up at this point, I guess. So then she told her parents like eventually, and I don't think they believed her, or they just never did anything about it. But so then like 5, 6 years later, she was just watching TV and like on the news, saw his face and just immediately recognized him. And it just like brought back this like trauma for her. And she saw that he drove a Volkswagen.
I just Googled that. I just Googled Ted Bundy car.
Yeah. And it was, you know, a Volkswagen. So yes. And he used this like sling on his arm to like lure girls into like feeling bad for him. So when she saw this on the news, by then it was over 30 women that he had allegedly killed at that time. So, yeah. And honestly, like with the timeline, it was kind of just like the time that she saw him, it was basically like, if the math is correct, it was at the beginning of his killing spree. So she could have potentially been like one of his first, but
I'm not meaning to laugh. It's just the way you're like describing this is like, if the timeline adds up correctly, she would have been number one.
Like, you know, I'm not good at math, but you know, I kind of just put this two and two together, and I, you know, so you know, I feel like because it was so early in the beginning that's why he didn't like keep going. I guess I don't know though, but yeah.
Okay, so grandma sits on this fat fucking secret for however many years. What prompted her to bring up the fact that this happened?
Literally was just telling her about my vacation at Daytona Beach. And yeah.
You're like, okay, I went on a really cute vacation to Daytona Beach. And she's like, do I have a Daytona Beach story for you?
Yeah, she's like, oh, by the way, actually, that just reminded me. But yeah, so I was, like, you know, understandably super shocked when she told me that. And I was like, what?
Like, no, like major what?
Yeah. Like, have you gone to therapy for this? I don't know.
Oh my, like, I mean, like, okay, the Ted Bundy of it all aside, the fact that your grandma at age 12 was chased not only on foot, but by car.
Yeah. Yeah.
The way I would become a recluse little hermit.
Yeah. I don't even know like how she recovered from this. Like, how did she even go back outside after that? I don't know.
Oh my God. Whoa. Like, I always think it's fascinating when people are like, oh, you never know if you encounter a serial killer. And it's like, to know for a fact that you did. Your grandma seems super chill about this. And I know it's been a couple decades, but huh?
Yeah, she's super chill. She, yeah, so she definitely, yeah, she gardens. So if that explains anything.
Did you watch like any Ted Bundy like docuseries with her or anything?
No.
Oh my God, girl, smoke a fat one and sit her down on the couch. Or maybe don't. Is that torturous to do to her?
Well, I mean, it might be fun. It might be a fun little,
I'm like, yeah, like, get a little woozy, sit on the couch and like, oh my God. I guess that's like, it is obviously really sad and not funny to joke about, but also like, holy shit. She like knew the lead of the docuseries.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. This is like crazy. I was super shocked. And like I said, like, as soon as your like podcast started, I was like, oh my God, I have a perfect story. Like, this is insane.
No, you have a perfect story. What I'm instructing you to do, because you have homework now, you need to sit your grandma down on camera and ask her every detail about this. Because like this, I don't want to say is iconic, but like that is like unreal.
I would love to, honestly.
Like,
I was like asking her for the story and she was like, why? And I was like, I just wanted to rehear it.
Like, bitch, what do you mean why? You were almost victim number one of like one of the most famous serial killers.
You're like, oh, why? Oh, yeah. So anyway, yeah, I was just, you know, walking down the boardwalk like, oh, okay. Like,
all she took from that story is she's like, I'm fast as fuck, boy.
Literally. Like, how did you even outrun a grown man, let alone somebody in a car?
I don't know. 12-year-olds have like energy for days. I am not surprised that she was able to outrun an older man in a sling.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you for sharing this little nugget of family herstory.
Of course. If I had more, I would love to share. And honestly, like, I wish it was about me, but at the same time, I'm...
No, it's like you get like the flex of being able to tell the story, but not having had like lived through it.
Right, exactly. I get that without the trauma.
And that's called reframing the narrative. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, thank you so much. And I will talk to you later. Don't go to Daytona Beach anymore. It does not, it doesn't, I don't see it for you.
And not at midnight and not at 12 years old.
And not in 1970.
Well, yeah.
That one's kind of important.
Yeah.
Well, Hannah, I will talk to you later. Have a good rest of your day. And
yeah, thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
Oh my God, thank you for being a part of it.
It honestly feels like I'm talking to a friend. Like it feels like I've known you for so long and now I finally get to chime in. So it's like, it's amazing.
Oh my God, that is so sweet. The honor really is all mine. I'm just like a nosy little bitch sitting at a fake poker table.
I love it.
Me too.
It's my favorite part of my Tuesdays.
Oh, thank you so much. That means so much. And I hope you have a happy Tuesday.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. I hope I wasn't like glorifying that too much, but like that really is like it to me. Okay, this is how my brain sees it. And I don't know why I'm explaining this because everyone's like, Chris, just end the fucking episode. But you know, it's like there's so few people who witness like World War II still alive. It's like that is such a wild time in history, and that's such a wild specific part of history, like Ted Bundy, that it's like to know someone, one, from that time, but also directly involved. Gaggy McGuire. Anyways, that is the end of today's episode. Like I said, it was a little bit shorter, so if this is your first one, we have plenty of episodes for you to go enjoy. Now, as always, be sure to rate Chris vs. the People 5 stars and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It helps us out greatly. And be sure to subscribe so you don't miss another episode. However, right now, I am heading over to Patreon for the Chris vs. the People after show. So if you're not going to be there, I will see you next week. Bye!